Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing word. Here now is Ryan Dalton, our youth leader, with today's message.
We're going to continue on this idea of the heart. The heart is something that you can just talk on and on and on about, because the Bible is just filled with wisdom as it pertains to our heart. And there's so much to do in regards to submitting our heart to the Lord, monitoring our heart, and things that we just have to really keep an eye on when it comes to it, because otherwise we can just let that thing kind of go where it wants to go and lead us astray, right? And I really just felt led to say, too, that even this morning, the Lord is just really putting the word teaching on my heart. And what I mean by that is sort of teaching in contrast to preaching. And the difference between that, I heard it put this way once, and I really kind of like this analogy, but teaching is like laying the wood for a fire, okay? It's stacking the wood, it's giving it structure, and is getting that wood ready, basically, to be burned. And then preaching is the lighting of that wood on fire. So one is kind of instructional, one is inspirational. One, again, like I said, it really brings that structure and brings something for the fire to burn. If all you ever do is teach, then there's probably going to never be passion. However, if all you ever do is preach, then there's nothing left to burn, and that flame quickly goes out. And, you know, you can make a real quick, flash fire, but the importance is that it has substance, right? Something to burn. And I just really felt like today that this is teaching. And so if some of your eyes start to glaze over and you start to fall asleep, well, I'm going to come and shake your chair. No, I won't do that. But I just wanted to kind of give you a heads up, because I just really think the Lord was speaking to me about that this morning. So what I want us to do is go ahead and get our Bibles ready and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 23. And as you're kind of getting that ready, if you've brought your Bibles, we can also go ahead and take a stand, and we'll say the vision together. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 23 says this: the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Lord, right now we just ask for light. Lord, I know that every single heart in this room, every single one of us, Lord, have areas of darkness in our heart that need the light to expel that darkness. So right now, Holy Spirit, we just pray for revelation of the Word of God to be implanted in our hearts, Lord. That in that light, all darkness would have to flee. And Lord, that you would teach us to fix our eyes upon you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for everyone here. Lord, I pray that not one seed that's planted would be plucked up, Lord, that everything would grow 100-fold to your glory, Lord, that your name would be magnified, God. Thank you so much. We just give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So in studying this passage, it's short, you know, it's just a couple of verses, but it is just so full of things to dissect and to look at. And one of the very first things we notice is that Jesus says the lamp of the body is the eye. So I don't know if you knew this or not, but spiritually speaking, you actually have a lamp that's part of your body and is representative of our eyes. However, that being said, it isn't just about your physical eyes. It's also about what you meditate on and think upon inside, in your mind, so to speak. You've heard it put before, kind of like the mind's eye. Well, in the same way, there are things that we see, things that we look upon, gaze upon, sort of inside ourselves. I will say, however, that your physical eyes do play a role with that. I have explained, you know, this whole weekend I've been talking about this idea of how when I used to be addicted to video games, and I used to play for hours and hours and hours and hours, and then hours and hours and hours and hours on top of that, and that wasn't enough either, and I would notice, oh no, the sun is going down, like I don't have enough time, I gotta do my homework, and never mind, I'll just keep playing. Like, hours upon hours. And, you know, the funny thing is, and the weird thing is that whenever I was done playing those video games, you know what my mind was on? The video games. It's crazy. You play for that long and you think your mind would be satisfied, but the reality is you're still thinking about it even hours and hours and hours afterwards. I used to play video games so much that I used to dream about it. I really would. There'd be times where I would dream about playing video games, and then I would do really good, and I'd wake up like, ah, oh, it was a dream. I didn't save my data. Some of you are like, what is going on right now? That's disgusting. You would really, yes, I would really play for that long. The point is, after I was done, my mind was still looking at it, still thinking upon it, still gazing upon that subject. In the same way, I know that every one of you also can relate to that, maybe not with video games, but with something else. There have been things that we have allowed to take precedence in our heart that we gaze upon, that we think upon, that we focus ourselves upon, and that thing becomes the thing that is really taking precedence in our heart. And so Jesus is giving us an understanding about something here in this passage, that with our eyes, both physically and spiritually speaking, it's important that we pay attention to what we are gazing upon. Amen? He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, this isn't, again, just the emphasis isn't so much on your physical eyes. I know people who have a really hard time seeing. I know people, you know, who have eye troubles, whatever they may be, but that doesn't mean that they're not full of light on the inside of them. So that's not the point. He's talking about something a little bit deeper here. He says, if your eye is good. And so this word for good in the Greek is the word haplos, okay? And what this word good means is simple, perfect, clean, and folded together, actually. Now, I will also say that, and this is important to understand too, if any of you have the King James Version of the Bible, you'll notice that it actually didn't say, if therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. It says, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. And this is synonymous with good in this context because it's a single eye that is a good eye. Now, what's that mean? Well, we kind of got a clue for that when we read the Greek definition, that idea of being folded together. You've got two eyes, hopefully. You got two eyes, and they focus upon one thing and create one image, is the idea. Not that your eyes literally fold together, but the image gets folded together and what you are seeing becomes one image in your mind. In the same way, that's how it physically works, but in the same way, spiritually, it works like that as well. Sometimes spiritually, we focus on one thing and then on another thing entirely different, and all of a sudden we become unfocused. Things become obscured or blurry, harder to see. You see, it's supposed to be that we have a single vision. And what are we supposed to have single vision for? I think it's kind of a Sunday school answer myself. And what I mean by a Sunday school answer is you can ask any, you know, kid in Sunday school, now what's the answer to this question? And they'll sit there and they'll look up at you and they'll say, Jesus. And you could ask, you know, you could trick them too and be like, well, who took the animals into the ark? And they'll be like, Jesus. And you're like, you're just messing with me. You're just saying Jesus because 90% of the answers are Jesus. There's some truth to that. Well, in the same way, I want you to understand, yes, our vision is supposed to be single, focused upon Jesus Christ. Because so often, even as believers, we have our eyes focused upon one eye on Jesus, and maybe the other eye on worldly pursuits and other things that we want to gain and other things that we allow to take precedence over our relationship with God. And do you know what happens when your eyes start to look two different ways? Well, something called division takes place. If you look at the word division, the prefix di followed by vision, di means two, di, and then visions. You have two visions. And when you have two visions, physically speaking, you're going to start stumbling around. I remember I went to a fair, or I was at an amusement park of some kind, and went through like a house of illusions. And I remember one of the first things you walked through was a tunnel that is rotating, but the platform you're on is stationary. And so I was just walking down this platform as it was stationary, and as the tunnel around me was moving, I was like, you know, involuntarily, I wasn't meaning to, but because my eyes were following what was happening, my body followed suit. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm about to be sick, fall over, whatever. You see, that's what happens when your physical vision becomes impaired. Your body follows suit and starts to stumble around and has much more difficulty in trying to get around and move about in any way that makes sense. Spiritually, this is the same principle. If you have one eye on Christ, but your other eye on something else that you allow to take precedence over your walk with Christ, you're going to spiritually start stumbling around. On the outside, you look okay. You're walking like a normal person, and it's fine. On the inside, you're getting battered and bruised and messed up, tripping all over the place because you are not seeing clearly, because your eyes are not focused upon single for Christ. You've heard of the idea of having eyes for somebody. When you have eyes for somebody, it means like you have a crush on them, or you notice them and that they're attractive or whatever. Well, we need to have eyes for Jesus. Eyes that are enthralled with who he is, the beauty of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we have single vision, it says that our whole body will be full of light. This word light, it's fairly simple in the sense that it really is pretty much light. But some of the words that are synonymous with this in the Greek that it uses are lustrous, transparent, bright, and well illuminated. It's important to know that in the Bible, when it talks about light and darkness, so often what it's really talking about is not so often physical light as much as it is light representing spiritual revelation and darkness representing spiritual ignorance. Spiritual revelation versus spiritual ignorance. So if our eye is single for Jesus and we focus upon him, our whole body will be full of bright light that causes us to have transparency inside of ourselves, as well as everything will be well illuminated. There isn't going to be darkness and confusion and everything that comes along with that. All that obscurity and the difficulty in being able to discern things and understand things. When we don't keep our eyes upon Christ, we become confused. And it's like sitting in a dark room and not knowing what's surrounding us. We're just sitting there and we don't know what's going on. You know, I'm not saying that I don't ever get spiritually confused. I think every one of us, if we're honest, we could say like, yeah, there's times where I'm like at a loss. Like, Lord, could you show me a little bit of what's happening here? Could you turn the light on for me? But the point is, are you the type of person who's content with being spiritually in a dark place, confused? Or are you the type of person who wants to pursue Jesus and gain that light in your life? Unfortunately, I think the first option is the one that we take because it requires the least amount of work. It's easy to lay in bed with the lights off, isn't it? And just stay there slumbering and just, you know, go back to sleep and roll over. It's a little more difficult to get up, stand up, turn that light on, let it hurt your eyes for a second, and then get ready for the day, right? Just like that's physically true, it's spiritually true. It's so much easier to spiritually just sleep and slumber. And you know, we've really shot ourselves in the foot when it comes to the terminology we use with the Lord sometimes. Very often, because we are spiritually confused, we like to use words for the Lord like mysterious. The Lord works in mysterious ways. You know, when we don't understand what's going on, we just say things like that. We leave it at that. We walk away and are content to be confused, to sit in darkness. When the reality is the Lord desires us to know what his will is, to be able to discern between good and evil, to find out what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. He wants to turn the light on for us. Do you think Jesus, who is called the light, desires us to sit in spiritual darkness and confusion so that we can say cute cliche sayings like, oh, God works in mysterious ways, and just leave it at that? Now, does God work in mysterious ways? Sometimes, sure. Yeah. But when we use that as an excuse to not try to find out what his will is, we've shot ourselves in the foot. And we are content with spiritual darkness and confusion and just sitting there and not understanding. And one of the biggest issues is we're not going to the one who can give us that light, and we're not going to his word and gaining that understanding. You see, he says that if our eye is single or good, our whole body will be full of this kind of light that takes away spiritual ignorance, this darkness that's inside of us. The word darkness, the first occurrence of the word, but if your eye is bad, being the antithesis of what is good, so not single, not focused upon Jesus Christ, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And this word in the Greek for darkness is skatinos, and it means opaque, is one of its meanings. When something is opaque, by definition, that means it does not allow light to pass through it. Something is opaque if it does not allow the transfer of light through the object. And so when we are, if our eyes are bad and they're not focused upon Christ and we're in that darkness and our whole body is full of that darkness, it literally won't allow light to pass through. God might be trying to speak to you, trying to give you understanding, but you have become spiritually opaque, not allowing light to come into your heart and to reveal what's really going on, to enlighten you in contrast to the confusion that you were feeling. You can literally block out the spiritual light that Jesus is trying to bring by not focusing yourself upon Christ, by not having that singleness of vision for him. And when we do that, and when we decide, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, and this can happen too. It's about singleness, right? So you could have one eye on Jesus spiritually, but the other eye on other things, and you just kind of hope that that's enough. But in all reality, darkness is still enveloping you, is still inside of you, and we're okay with it. We prove we're okay with it because we want to just keep one eye on Christ and the other eye on other things. When in reality, both eyes are for us to gaze upon him and for us to be able to witness what he's trying to do, what he's trying to bring, the revelation he's trying to bring in our lives. So that darkness, it's kind of all or nothing kind of thing. It's either you've got both eyes on Christ or you don't. And if you don't, then it's not good vision. It's divided. It's division, which means darkness is taking place inside of us when we do that. It also means, this word darkness, I said it means opaque. It doesn't allow light to come through. It also is a new word that I learned recently from looking up this definition, is the word benighted. How many of you have heard of the word benighted before? Was that, I think, like two people? Cool. All right. So I know I'm not alone. Most of us haven't heard of this word. I think it's kind of a neat word. It's benighted means intellectually or morally ignorant or unenlightened. Intellectually or morally ignorant or unenlightened. When we choose to not focus ourselves upon Christ and using our spiritual vision, if you will, to gaze upon him and him alone, singleness of vision, we start to become morally ignorant and unenlightened. We start to not understand the ways of the Lord. We easily get frustrated and confused, and we just give up on it. And we're content to sit in that darkness. And this is really a dangerous place for us to be, because to be followers of Christ, effective followers of Christ that are witnessing for him, we need to have a light inside of us, because Jesus is the light of the world, but he also says that we're now the light of the world, right? We are now carrying that light. But are we really truly carrying that light if we are not allowing him to be the source of that light? Imagine it like this. Jesus is the light, the true light, and we're like mirrors that reflect his glory, okay? And if you are like somebody who doesn't care about focusing yourself upon Christ, it's like you break that mirror or you turn that mirror around so that it's not being used. You have a mirror, you have the ability to be that mirror, but you're actually not utilizing it because you're not reflecting his glory for other people to see. C.S. Lewis put it really good. He said, don't shine so that others can see you. Shine so that through you others can see him, is how he put it. Don't shine so that people will notice you and think you're so great or this or that. Shine so that people can see Jesus in you. But you become more like Jesus the more you spend intimate time with him. The more that you gaze upon the light, the true light, who is Jesus Christ, and allow that to be what's coming from you, out of you, and that people see and can recognize that that is Jesus. Because otherwise, yeah, we're just in ignorance. And we become more and more ignorant of it, of the truth of God, and of understanding his will and his ways. The more that we allow darkness to envelop the inside of us and are not content just to look upon Jesus as our source of enlightenment and understanding, then that darkness is coming in, and we might not even know it. Why? Jesus puts it this way: if your eyes bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's kind of paradoxical sounding, just a little bit, isn't it? If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, it's like this. You might think that because you have garnished your life a little bit with Jesus here and there, having one eye upon him and maybe your other eye on other pursuits that are taking precedence over him, you might think and be tricked into thinking that the darkness that's in you is actually light. You might think that, oh, I have the knowledge. Darkness, and this time it's skatos, and it means obscurity, an absence of spiritual light and truth. You can be tricked into thinking that you're full of spiritual light, and in reality, it's the absence of spiritual truth. It's obscured. Meaning that it's hard to see clearly. Something is getting in the way of the vision, fogging it up. That's what it means to have obscurity. And so, in reality, what light is in you, what you think is in you, is really just obscurity and the absence of spiritual truth. It's really akin to being deceived, right? If darkness is like spiritual ignorance, well, the worst part about being deceived is that you don't know you're deceived. And the only way that we can know if we're deceived or not is if we come back to this right here. If we go and we look into the mirror of the Word of God, which says that if we continue in it and are not forgetful hearers, but a doer of the work, we'll be blessed in what we do, is what it says in James. But that passage begins by this, saying that if you are only a hearer of the Word of God and not a doer, you are like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He goes and he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Why? Because just hearing the Word of God but not following through with obedience is an automatic formula for deception. And how often do you hear the Word of God? Well, you hear it, some of you, once a week, twice a week. Some of you read it every day. Some of you are exposed to it constantly. To the extent that you're exposed to the Word of God but do not follow through with obedience is the extent that you are going to have deception in your life. And how often are we content to sit here and do nothing about what's said and therefore allow deception to enter into our lives? Darkness to enter into our lives. You see, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to cause deception or try to bring deception into our lives, and we have to know the Word, or else we aren't going to know when deception or things that are trying to deceive us come. We have to be prepared. We have to be ready. And one of the first steps is this: we have to have singleness of vision for Jesus Christ. Our body has a lamp, and it is our eye. And I want you to keep that imagery in your mind, because we're going to be holding on to that through the remainder of this message. That it's important that we understand that we have a lamp, a spiritual lamp that we carry with us that is representative of our eyes. If you could turn to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And so we see, I want to point out some more imagery that we're going to be kind of adding to our list of words today. And one of the things I want to do before we read this passage is, real quick, I just want to quote Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. And it simply says this. I bet all of you have heard it before. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Two words that I want to have kind of pointed out in this passage is this. Well, three, really. Word. His word is also a lamp, okay? And it's also a light. The word light is brought up in here, okay? Now, I want to read the beginning of the Gospel of John because it gives us more understanding about what the word truly is and what the light truly is. More accurately, who the word really is and who the light really is. So listen, I just want to read these couple of paragraphs here just to give us some more clarification. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is in reference to John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So I want to stop right there and just bring this up, that this, his word being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, is not just about this printed word here. This is a dead cow and a dead, maybe multiple dead trees, I don't know, and ink. It's an object, is what this is. Now, does it contain the written word of God? Yes. Are we only concerned about the written word of God? No. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the Word of God. Just reading an object does not bring light to you. We know this because the Pharisees read this more than I ever have, and maybe more than I ever will. And that isn't an excuse for me not to read it. It's just that they memorized whole entire books of the Bible. They would try to memorize the entire Torah, which means instruction or law, which is the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And if you can tell me that you've memorized any portion of those scriptures, I would be like, wow, that's really amazing. Because if you've ever read them, you would know there's a lot of information in those books. And they would memorize entire books of the Bible. And yet, they did not recognize Jesus. Most of them did not recognize Jesus when he came. The Jews, to whom were entrusted the prophecies of the coming Messiah, did not recognize Jesus when he came. So it isn't just about reading this physical object, it's something else. It's about spending time with the Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. About sitting at his feet and through the Holy Spirit getting that illumination, that revelation knowledge of the truth of God. Because we could spend hours and hours and hours of studying this book and not gain one step closer to Jesus Christ. It's when we submit ourselves to it and say, Lord, teach me through this. Show me the light through this. Engrave it upon the tablet of my heart, Lord. Don't let it become just head knowledge, Lord. May it be heart knowledge. May it be belief in you, faith in you. That is when we start to see a big difference. You see, Jesus is being talked about in this. He is the Word, but he is also talked about as being the light, capital L. This is another one of his titles. And we know in John, I believe it's John chapter 8, where he even just flat out says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light. And so when we read Psalm 119 and it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, we know that this is also really more so also an understanding, a picture of who Jesus Christ, he fulfills that. He is the Word made flesh and he is the light.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.